Our next agenda item is update from the SC Department of Education, Office of Special Education, and it's going to be given by Marty McKenzie, statewide vision consultant.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history, practical man. You study him hard, hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone.
Good afternoon. I love these clips that introduce us. I am so pleased to be a graduate of USC Columbia. So I might tell a Clemson joke. How can you determine that there is a funeral procession in Clemson? The lead tractor will have its headlights on. Could not resist, could not resist. Welcome. A few updates from the Department of Education, Office of Special Education Services, and my biggest role here is statewide vision consultant and talking about things that relate to the South Carolina Vision Education Partnership. Now, I know you all had that lunch and you had more cookies than you should have had, and you're all trying to wake up, okay? So let's try to get through this. I did not bring the bean counter for the numbers today. I left the numbers in the office because I thought, you know, they don't remember the numbers anyway. So there, I will talk about one set at the end. Our TVI mentor program is in its third year. Jody Floyd, a master TVI, is still leading that charge. And we have 10 first and second year TVIs this year that she will be supervising, and she'll be working with in districts across the state. So it began in 2017, 2018. That was the first school year. She floated across the ocean that year, trying to figure out what it was she was supposed to do, which we got it together. And then she perfected it last year, and it's just rolling like a fine-oiled machine. Those of you that have worked with Jody Floyd knows she does something one time, figures out what she needs to do to fix it, and then she fixes it. That's just her approach to everything. She also serves as the Project Magnify coordinator. We lost one out of the 10 last year. We're beginning this year with 10, but we lost one out of the 10 last year because they left the state. That was a TVI out of Charleston, moved here, and then the husband's job didn't come through, so left around November. So we did have that happen, but those things do happen. This has been a very successful program. So districts that we will be working in this year include Lancaster, York. It includes York being Rock Hill 3, Union, Charleston, Dorchester 2, and then several of the new protégés work in statewide blind and visually impaired education, which is what we changed our name to last year rather than vision outreach. Project Magnify has been around for more than 12 years. It's a research-based program that basically places emphasis on reading with magnification and video devices rather than reading using large print. So if you are a print reader, the theory is that you will read faster, more accurately, and you will have greater access to print if you use magnification devices. Last year, we had 23 that went through this program, and they all did very well. It is sponsored through the Office of Special Education Services at the South Carolina Department of Education. And, of course, it's administered through the School for the Deaf and the Blind, Statewide Blind and Visually Impaired Education. The SC Vision Education Partnership. Frank knows that I call him periodically and go, we have a meeting. And so he has appointed, I believe, Ed at this time to sort of fill that gap and help us be sure that we liaison with NFB, because I'm going to be honest with you, as chair of our partnership, I want NFB at the table for every decision that's made and every discussion that is taking place. So we are moving forward with that. We generally meet quarterly. I have to be honest, the Vision Education Partnership functions best when there is a cause, and there is a cause. I will tell you about it in just a minute. For those of you that don't know what it is, it's a state, it is a group of state organizations and entities that are focused on services for the blind and visually impaired. It was founded in 2000 or so, and we will have our 20th annual Vision Summit in the coming year, 20 years ago. Dr. Capps and Sheila Breitweiser were instrumental in putting this group together in an effort to save our teacher preparation program, which was moving from, which was being closed in Columbia. They got it moved to Spartanburg. So the partners in order: South Carolina School for the Deaf and the Blind, South Carolina State Department of Education, Office of Special Education Services, the University of South Carolina Upstate, Teacher Preparation Program for TVIs there, the South Carolina Commission for the Blind, the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina, the Association for the Education and Rehabilitation of the Blind and Visually, I can't even get that one out, SCAER, and South Carolina Orientation and Mobility Program, South Carolina State University Orientation and Mobility Program, and I'll talk about that in a minute, the Medical University of South Carolina Storm Eye Institute. Recently added was the Vision Institute of South Carolina, which is a nonprofit based here in Columbia. And then we have one other request out to see if there is another entity that is interested in joining us. Last year, I talked to you a little bit about the fact that there was an eligibility criteria update on the horizon. There was this memo that came out in May of 2017, and it had to do primarily with something known as CI, convergence insufficiency. And of course, all of the research into that is interesting because it's basically appears to me, just my opinion, they're trying to make something that belongs to another disability group appear to be a visual impairment. But we've been directed that we cannot rule out, as we've done in the past, based on the visual acuity alone. And we really do need to take every factor into consideration. We worked for 8 months, a focus group of the leaders worked for 8 months on what that would look like. And finally, in January, we submitted a document to the Department of Education that their lawyer that works in OSES said, I will bless this. This, we can live with this. It does not open that door wide for CI in South Carolina, because if we do that, then every time there's a referral for visual impairment, our 100 or so TVIs have to drop what they're doing and go do what's called a functional vision learning media assessment. And those things take hours to administer and hours to write up. It could interfere with services to the students that really need them. We have to balance this. We think we've done that. There's one other disability group that's still working on their criteria, and so it has not rolled out yet, which means we have not trained on it. But I feel very differently about that this year from how I felt last year when I stood before you, because last year I just felt like the door was gonna be opened wide and we would have some challenges. I feel like we reached a very satisfying compromise that will be beneficial to all. And then the last thing I want to talk to you, and I should have followed Kristen's model, but I didn't. I put the meat at the end. The fluff is in the middle. The thing that I want to talk to you is what I see as a crisis in South Carolina, and that is the need for orientation and mobility instructors. So let me give you a little bit of information on that. Right now, there are 25 ACV REP certified orientation and mobility instructors. And you might ask, why do they need to be ACV REP certified? That is, of course, through that academy that was set up. It's no longer part of AER, thankfully, but it's still out there. And the reason that they need that certification in South Carolina is that in school-age settings, If a student is eligible for Medicaid, school districts can seek Medicaid reimbursement for orientation and mobility services. Now, it also lends you a higher level of credentialing. That is, there's a specific process you have to go through, an internship and an assessment, a rigorous assessment that you have to take. And we all know that we want our orientation and mobility instructors to be the best that they can be. That's the one area on an IEP that I never want to see 80% mastery, because that other 20% could mean you become a grease spot. So you have to get that correct, okay? There's no room for error in this one. No room for not doing your best. Of that 25 orientation and mobility specialists, and those are all other the ones that touch school-age children. There are others. I know there are others that work for the Commission for the Blind. It's not a large number, but there are others. Of that 25, several of them are dual certified, which means they are serving as TVIs to students in districts and doing orientation and mobility as well. Currently, there is no program to train orientation and mobility instructors in South Carolina. When there is not a program in a state, the need becomes even greater over time. South Carolina State University, which had a program up until about 3 years ago, placed that program in moratorium, and it continues in moratorium today. We don't know what their plans are for that program, but we know that nobody is training orientation and mobility instructors. The University of South Carolina Upstate, working with the Department of Education through a project that funds critical needs areas, did a cohort, not a program, but a cohort that's finishing up this spring, summer, and fall, and that's going to increase our capacity by approximately 9 orientation and mobility instructors. That doesn't sound like a lot, but when you only have 25 to begin with, that, if you do the math on that, it's pretty significant. There is not a solid plan on continuing that need. We are currently trying to figure out what we can do to increase the capacity in South Carolina. This is an area that the National Federation of the Blind, in conjunction with the Vision Education Partnership, can influence. It's a project we can work on, that we can have a positive outcome. Like any project like this, it will take time. But if we don't start talking about it, nothing will happen. I have worked with Dr. Shirley Madison from the formerly of the SCSU program to gather some historical data about the numbers there. And we've started working with the Vision Education Partnership and Frank Koppel and some others on exactly how we can move forward with this and what we can do. So that is the update. The critical need that we want to worry about is orientation and mobility. TVI, of course, that's always a need, but we really want to focus on how we can move forward and move that out there and look for a way to train our own staff in this state. I appreciate your time this afternoon, and I will see you this evening. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Frank.
Okay, we have a few more items to cover, but I want to squeeze in one little thing right now. We are very fortunate this week to have with us the national representative of our National Students Division, Kenya Flores. And so, Kenya, it's all yours.
Good afternoon, fellow Federationists. How are y'all doing today? It has been an honor and a privilege to be here at your state convention this weekend. There's nowhere else you know that I'd rather be on this Saturday afternoon. So by way of introduction, my name is Kenya Flores, and I currently serve as second vice president of the National Association of Blind Students, a proud division of the National Federation of the Blind. Our president, Catherine Webster, really wishes that she could be here today, but she is currently in California running our Pacific Regional Student Seminar. So, you know, though she can't be here, she sends her love and me. And though I call Charlotte, North Carolina home, I actually do reside in Greenville, South Carolina, where I'm currently a rising senior at Furman University. And I'm double majoring in politics and international affairs. Today, I'd just like to share a little bit about my Federation story with you and the integral role that the Federation has played in shaping who I am today. Growing up, I had very little exposure to blind people, and those who I encountered did not have a positive philosophy of blindness. In fact, many were content just to sit at home, allowing their family members to take care of them. And I am the first blind person in my family. My parents knew very little about blindness and especially little about raising a blind child. However, I was fortunate that my mother raised me with very high expectations, even though she was not familiar with the Federation at the time. As I grew older, I began hearing about blindness organizations, but knew very little about what they were actually about. Honestly, I thought I was doing just fine. That could not have been further from the truth. Once I started high school, I truly began to question what my future would look like. I did not know what was possible for me as a blind person, and the thought of that terrified me. At that point in my life, I was convinced I was going to go into the medical field. Given that I didn't know what a STEM career would look like for a blind person, I decided to apply to a STEM program held at our Jernigan Institute. While I was waiting to hear back regarding the program, I decided to attend a chapter meeting. I figured I should probably learn about the organization if I planned to attend one of their programs. I was surrounded by complete strangers, yet I immediately felt at home. I knew I had found my people. These chapter members were successful blind adults who were living the lives they wanted. Joining my chapter that day was the greatest decision I could have made for myself. A few weeks later, I learned I had been accepted to the STEM program. On one hand, I was looking forward to traveling to our National Center and meeting other blind students and adults. On the other hand, I was absolutely terrified. It was the first time I would be flying alone at the age of 14 to a place I had never been and where I did not know anyone. However, my fears were quickly laid to rest by my chapter family. That November, I traveled to Baltimore. Throughout the weekend, I was not Kenya, the blind student. I was just Kenya, a student. Though I knew that being blind was okay, it was the first time in my life that someone told me it was respectable to be blind. I returned home with a newfound hope and a desire to contribute to the efforts of the organized blind. I attended my first state convention the following year. There, I met Catherine Webster, who I credit much of my leadership growth and development to. During that weekend, Catherine saw what I didn't see in myself, potential. She has and continues to serve as my mentor and now friend. She was there for my first Washington seminar, one of the most empowering experiences I have had the privilege of having. If you had told me that I would be speaking to members of Congress and their staff at the age of 17, I would not have believed you. It was the first time I directly observed the impact that public policy has. I knew I wanted to do more to influence policy, especially because we, the blind of this nation, know what is best and what we need. Washington Seminar helped me recognize that I wanted to pursue a career in law. Since Washington Seminar, I have had the opportunity to intern at the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute, the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and most recently for United States Senator Tom Tillis on Capitol Hill. In fact, I was Senator Tillis's first intern with a disability. I never questioned whether I could pursue these opportunities because my Federation family has taught me that no dream is too big. To the students and new members in this room, I encourage you to take that next step, whether that is attending a chapter meeting, joining the student division here in South Carolina, joining a NABS committee, or even attending a national convention or your first Washington seminar. You never know if, like me, that next step will change the trajectory of your life for the better. I could have never predicted that I would one day be giving back to the organization that has given me so much alongside my mentor and one of my greatest friends. I am committed to helping pave the way for the next generation of the blind because I was once where many of you are now. I look forward to paving our way together. Let's go build the National Federation of the Blind. Thank you.
Thank you.